these trials God, that God brings on us in our life, they're to help us. They're to give us that patience, that endurance, that we may continue on and not fall out by the way. And if we can ever get a grip on that, and then we can choose to rejoice even during difficult times. And by the way, again, your attitude is a choice. The attitude I have, it's a choice. It's not always the easy choice, but it's our choice. Man, I can tell you, there's times where I've caught myself having a bad attitude, and you have to, and I'll talk to myself, say, that's not the, that's not the right attitude. You need to choose a good one. I know, but it's not always easy, but we can. And you say, many times it's not that I can't, it's rather I won't. But the attitude is a choice. Paul said that we're to rejoice in the Lord always. All the time. We can, and you say, well, not everything is great. But he says, knowing that, he says, but we are to rejoice because it's a choice. You know, that's the same Paul who, along with his partner, Silas, after having been beaten and thrown into prison, were heard singing praises. When they were singing, they weren't singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. You know, they probably weren't singing that. They were probably singing, all praise to him who reigns above in majesty. And they were singing praise to the Lord. They were singing. And it's the same Paul that did that says, hey, in everything, rejoice in the Lord always. Because our attitude is a choice. And James tells us that. It takes an act of the will. It's a choice. But then as we go on in this first chapter here, we find that I'm not only to rejoice as that my faith is being tried, but that a loving Heavenly Father is placing before me tests that are particular to my situation in life. In verse 9 through 11, it says, let the brother of agree, rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. He has a trial. He's talking there that the poor has their particular trial to them. The rich have theirs to them. But you see, God, he just doesn't give us a general trial. It's not just one side. Well, we'll just throw it out there and see if anybody can benefit from that. No, he gives those particular testings, those trials, just custom fit because he knows what you and I individually need. And again, I'm to rejoice in that fact. I'm also encouraged to endure, to be long-suffering during these trials. Because if I remain faithful, God says there's a reward. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he has received the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. See, a crown of life is promised to those who love the Lord. But how do I show that I love him? By trusting him during those difficult times, during those hard times, during those trying times in my life. You know, when I love him and I know he loves me, I know he's working those things out, even the hard things, for my benefit. You know, as a parent, sometimes the things you have to do in instructing your kids, man, to them, it's a hard thing. that they can't do this, or why can't I do that, or why can't I have it? And sometimes you have to, even in the chastening and the discipline and things that, but it's a part of, you know, that's going to help them. That's for their benefit. It's for their good. They may not understand that as a child. They were not going to understand that, but they've got to trust that mom and dad know what's right. And our same, when we trust and we know that the Lord loves us, and that we can show our love to him by saying, God, I trust you even in these difficult times. But then in verses 13 through 15, he goes on to warn us of the potential danger that arises when we don't weather these tests well. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, the danger sometimes when we don't weather these tests right, when we don't receive them right with the rejoicing and the joy and the knowing that God's working something good, the danger is we begin to accuse God wrongly. We accuse God of tempting us with evil. And you see, the reason James says, hey, don't do that, because he says that would be wrong, because God does not tempt with evil. And he can't be tempted with evil himself, neither tempteth he any man. Now, listen, that you say, well, but doesn't it say knowing that the trying of your, when you fall into diverse temptations, various temptations? You know, there is where God brings, like when he said to Abraham, and it said the Lord did tempt Abraham. It was a testing. It was a trial. He wasn't tempting him with evil. God doesn't tempt with evil. Now, God will try us and he will test us, but he does not bring, he does not lure us to do evil. He doesn't tempt us with sin. And just to be sure that we get it, James goes on and tells us where that temptation actually comes from. He says it comes from being drawn away of our own lusts, and we're enticed. You see, those lusts, those strong desires that we have them, don't we? All have a desire for something, whether it's for money, or things, or popularity, or whatever. We have desires for certain things. And you know what? And it says we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Who do you think it is that knows how to entice you and I? That knows our desires? Satan's the tempter. He's called the tempter. And he knows how to say, man, I know you want that. I know you like that. Here it is. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Just, you know, how did he do with Eve? God's just holding out on you. Did he really say that? I mean, and he entices us with those desires, those lusts of our flesh. And then we get drawn away of that. And then when we succumb, and again, the temptation is not a sin. It's the succumbing to that temptation. When we're drawn away of that, of our lust and entice. And then he says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When I now take that temptation, that enticement, and then I act upon it, becomes sin. I believe it was Spurgeon says, you know, you can't control whether a bird flies over your head. He says, but you should never let it make a nest in your hair. You know, we can control, you know, it's like, hey, if the temptation or the thought, hey, we, you know, but if we dwell, we sure not let that dwell in us and stick with us. It's then when we act on those temptations that we commit sin. And James says the consequence of which is ultimately death. And so that brings us up to where we are tonight in our text. James here in dealing with that and saying, hey, don't falsely accuse God for the temptations in your life. It's not, he's not luring you to do wrong. He's trying your faith. He wants you to see that, hey, that a tested faith is a strong faith, that you can trust him during those hard times. But then James goes on here to say in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. He says, don't make a mistake to think that God would tempt you with evil as if he desires to make you fall. Is a mistake. That's wrong. John Wesley said it like this. He said, it is a grievous error to ascribe the evil and not the good which we receive to God. See, not only does God not tempt us with evil or tempt us to sin, but James goes on to say he is the giver of everything good in our life. Verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want to see, and that's our focus tonight, is just on that verse, the goodness of God. And I want us to consider just a few things tonight, and we won't be very long, I don't think. All right. Somebody's texting me a long note here. All right. But number one, I want us to see that God has displayed the goodness of God. You know, he is every good thing he's given us. Everything that is good and right is from the Lord. And I want to see, number one, God has displayed his goodness. He's put it out there. He's not hidden it. Number one, I want you to see that all that God created was good. You look at Genesis chapter 1, and after every day of creation, and God says, behold, it's good. He has to tell us after every day, he says, I made this, and it was good. And he makes this, he divides the light from the darkness. He gives us, he said, it's good. Gives us the sun, the moon, the stars, and divides the firmament. He says, it's good. Gives us the plants and the ground and divides the waters, gives us plants and trees and all the, man, it's good. Gives us the fish in the seas and the birds in the air, and God says, it's good. Makes the animals and all the creeping things, and he still says, those are good. And then he makes man dust of the ground. He says, it's good. Why? Because God's good. And he's displayed it. In Romans, it says, you know what? Every man knows. God has generally revealed himself to every man. All you have to do, God says, is just, you look at creation and you can see the goodness of God. God's not hid it. He's displayed his goodness in his creation. And then we see his goodness in the Old Testament. We see as he promised good to his children, the children of Israel, to his people. In Exodus 3:8, I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptian. I bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God says, he with his children Israel, the children of Israel, he says, how I'm going to bring you into a good land. The blessings that God wants to do for us are good things. He's displayed that. His goodness, he tells us, is abundant. It's not limited. Exodus 34, 6 and 7, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Has God passed by and hid Moses in the cleft of the rock? And Moses wanted to see, and God showed. He says, one of the characteristics, one of the attributes of God that were proclaimed there as he passed by, did you notice he said he's abundant in goodness? You know, it's not limited. It's not, and I'm thankful that, I mean, there's a lot that have gone, there's a lot of folks who have gone before us. And as good as God's been from the beginning of time until now, you'd think, by the time we come along, he'd say, well, I'm sorry, but ran a little short. Ran out. No, he never runs out. Because his goodness is abundant. It's bountiful. Romans 2:4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. See, God is good. He's shown it. He's displayed it. He's told us. But listen, not only is God good, but secondly, I want us to see tonight that God's children are to do good. Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, but love your enemies and do good to and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. We know Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we'd say, you know, to get to heaven, it's not based on anything that you could do. You can't merit it. You can't be good enough. You can't, he says, it's not any works that you do. It's all of the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. God bestows his favor on us when we're so undeserving of that. But now we're not saved by works, but he goes on in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. God says, I've saved you not by your own works, but once you are saved, I expect you to do some good things. I expect you to be good. In 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. When we are out and amongst those in the world, they ought to notice that our life is marked by goodness. By good works, by good things. And in noticing that, and I was reading one fellow that he's a soul winner, great fellow that just takes every opportunity to share the gospel. But even in doing good things, and sometimes if people have a need, he has money that he has to just give people and to bless people with. But he lets them know why he's doing that. And he made the statement, he says, you know, and sometimes we say, well, is that so you could get like, hey, here's why I'm doing. No, he says, listen, if we're just doing good things, well, there's people in the world that do good things that are kind, that are nice, that are generous. But we ought to say, hey, I do this because I'm a Christian, because God commands me to be good. And you know what, when I let them know, hey, it's. They can see that, hey, that they glorify God because of the good works that I do. And that our life ought to be marked by that. But have you ever considered why is it that God wants his children to do good? Because, see, God desires that we do good because that's a reflection of his character. That's who he is. I would ask us tonight, are we reflecting the goodness of God in our life? It needs to be more than just something we talk about. Again, it needs to be displayed in the workings of our life. You see, the goodness that we have, as my children, we have a family name, the name Mason. And I want that name to mean something. I want when people say Masons, I mean, I know there is the Masons. All right, that's already another, that's a whole nother deal. But when they think of the Gerald Mason family or our family, I want that to be named to mean something, to be respected, to be know that that represents somebody that wants to serve God. And you know what? We take on the name of the Lord. He's our Father. We represent Him, and we ought to be. He is good, and so we, as we represent Him as His children, and carry on, if you would, that family name. He expects His children to be good. And James goes on to say here, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. That is, He's the God of creation. He is the Father, not only of the physical light of creation, He made the sun, the moon, he said, let there be light. There was light. Then He set those things in the sun, the moon, the planets, the stars, to give light in the earth. He's not only the Father of the physical light of creation, but He's the source of all spiritual light as well. And then James goes on and says, not only that, but there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That fact alone, that we serve an unchanging God, that's a whole message just in and of itself. We could park there and be there for a long time. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, well, why is that important? Well, that's important because that He doesn't change from day to day. You and I can count on Him being just as good a God today as He was yesterday. And as good as He is today, He's going to be the same tomorrow. There is no changing. God is good. He's good all the, we say this phrase, I've heard people say, you say God is good, and God's good all the time. And He is. He was good yesterday. He was good to those that we look at in the Word of God in those Old Testament times, those New Testament times, and those that have gone before us. He was good. We can see the testimony of that. But that same God that was good then is good today. And His goodness is still here and alive and well, and it will still be good tomorrow. So tonight, I just want to just encourage, when God brings trials and testing in our life, listen, He does so not to tempt us with sin, for James says that's not His character. But He does so for His glory and our good. Of course, we know Romans 8:28, but God, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I want to close tonight just reading a little biography, if you would, just a brief biography of man. Some of you may know him. His name's John Bishop. It says here, Brother John Bishop had been a pastor. It says, I came down with aseptic meningitis in October of 1995. Because of some unusual and puzzling circumstances, I lost all of my memory. I've had to learn how to read and write along with everything else all over again. My motor skills were also affected, which resulted in having to learn to walk and talk as well. I still have many physical limitations, but God has helped me so wonderfully. I love Him dearly, and I love hurting people. He loves people that are hurting, that are suffering. I tell people I may have to be sick, but I don't have to be grouchy about it. I have a good time. I now travel as an evangelist around America telling people how good the Lord is, especially when you are hurting. I call my ministry God is So Good Ministries. I have a wonderful wife I call my Donna that has been so good to help through all the many trials we have gone through. I had even forgot that we were married or that even what marriage was. But once I found out what it was, I sure did like it. Amen. God still helps me with daily battle with pain in the form of back problems and severe headaches. God helped me to focus on two things of God's attributes in particular that helped me through our darkest hours. God is always good, and God is always right. You see, listen, as James says, he says, dearly beloved. Hey, Christian, dear Christian, dearly beloved, he says, this is rejoice. We have a good God who will do whatever it takes to bring you closer to him. Do you know that's the best place we could ever be, is close to him. And sometimes we those hard times, those trials, those times of difficulty, we cry. And God says, I may bring that in your life because I need you to be close to me. I need even in those I want you to be close because I'm good. And because he has great love for us. So just simply tonight, just a reminder to us. Hey, I don't know what you necessarily are going through. But it's been said, I think I heard it from Brother Brown over and over. Several times Brother Dave Brown would say this. Either you're just coming out of a storm. Either you're in a storm or you're just coming out of a storm or you're getting ready to go in a storm. Hey, but those things come in our life, don't they? And when they do, listen, we just need to remember that God is good and he's always right.